The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another award-winning Kiefer and Curry. He is cleaning his glasses. He is getting ready for another fantastic show as we go Dead or Alive. We're recording this show here on February 3rd. Of course, wherever you listen to your shows, you can get it fresh run right there on TKR. We have 100,000 people who, of course, have already followed the radio station. They listen to the show at least 5 days a week. And, of course, we'll be getting your favorite podcast right here on the Tony Curry Radio YouTube channel. You can also check us out along with 17 other shows, including at Kip Kiefer's show called Need to Know. It's all run right here on TKR. First of all, Kip, how you doing, brother? Everything good?
Well, fine. I had an interesting experience yesterday. I was sleeping about sunrise, and some guys in tuxedos came in and drugged me outside and held me up to the sun and said, you know, because I never leave my burrow here. And they said, nope, 6 more weeks of winter. Thanks. I'm doing great. I'm glad I was able to provide a public service for everybody, since I'm living like a groundhog these days.
Or a greyhound. That's what my dad.
Greyhound, too.
My dad used to always say, if he sees a shadow, it's 6 more weeks of winter. If he doesn't see a shadow, it's about 40 more days of winter.
Exactly.
Like it's about the same damn thing.
It's ridiculous.
Did you get a chance to watch the Grammys at all last night?
I did not. I kind of boycott that. I don't like the politics of the event. I don't know if they really celebrate the best work in music. I think it's more of a popularity contest. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really down on all the award shows, Tony. I just can't get into them.
Certainly some politics. Just to give you a rehash, Beyonce won Best Album of the Year for the first time in her life after a ninth. By the way,
you knew that was coming, yeah, because of all the protests a couple of years ago, the guys jumping up on the podium going, the fact that Beyonce didn't win is an absolute abomination,
So not only did she win that, she also won Best Album Country of the Year. She got nothing at the CMAs. She got snubbed by everything at the Country Music Awards, but she wins Country Music Album of the Year, of course, for her Carter album, Country Carter.
Wow.
Which really was kind of like, I guess it was kind of a snub to all the country stars that were actually in the same group, because, I mean, she just came out of nowhere, decided once she wanted to do a country album. It was a great album, don't get me wrong, but I mean,
And I have respect that she's willing to go a different direction, because all she has to do is show up and kind of dance around and have like 3 lyrics to a song. Oh, it's the greatest song of all time. I don't understand.
She now has 35 Grammys, which is by far the most. And just, I mean, I don't think people put this in context. I mean, if you win one Grammy, you've arrived. I mean, it's like winning one Super Bowl. All you gotta do is win one Super Bowl and you've arrived. I mean, that precludes your name, and wherever you go, it's Super Bowl winner, Grammy Award winner. It's always, you know, Hall of Famer. It's always that. And so the fact she's got 35, something else I thought was really interesting. The Beatles won a Grammy last night.
Did they really?
For best rock group. And it was for their Now and Then. I think it's called Now and Then. It was an album, or actually a song that was released through AI. Mm-hmm. It's got John Lennon singing on it. It was something that George Harrison and Ringo Starr and, of course, Paul, and, of course, George is not with us anymore. But the two of those decided, hey, listen, let's go ahead and put this thing out. It won a Grammy 55 years, almost to the day.
That's incredible.
Since they broke the band up back in 1970. So I thought that was really, really cool. And there was a couple other things that I thought were pretty decent. I tried to watch it. I still get a little nervous when I watch these shows, because whenever I get up in front of a large group of people, I still get really, really nervous. And I saw Trevor Noah, who I thought did a really nice job. But he, you could tell he was a little nervous up there. I mean, you know, this guy's on television every single night. He's a celebrity in his own right.
Well,
when you're in a room full of the biggest and the best, it's pretty amazing. So anyway, they did a really nice in memoriam, which is something I love, of Quincy Jones last night. They did a special thing on Quincy Jones last night. And I really loved it. And that's really the only reason I watched, because I was a huge Quincy Jones fan.
And I would have watched that had I known when it was going to air.
Yeah. You and I actually did a show and talked about Quincy several weeks ago. And we both agreed that without Quincy Jones.
Yeah. One of the most important figures in entertainment history.
The landscape of music is totally different. And I mean, he just did it all and did everything and was just fantastic. And some of my favorite songs, 100 Ways, which is one of my favorite songs of all time, from James Ingram, who has also passed away. So I wanted to go through, last week we were talking, not morbidly, but we were talking about some celebrities that we just couldn't believe were gone. And I said, we ought to do a show where I can't believe ... is dead. And there's several that just pop into my head right off the bat. But before we get to that group of people that you have in your head, I wanted to do a little dead or alive. I'm going to give you a celebrity, a rocker, someone famous that you're going to know. And you're going to tell me if this person is dead or alive. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Greg Allman.
Greg Allman passed away.
Greg Allman did pass away. He was 69. Jeff Lynne of ELO.
I think he's still with us.
He is still with us, and he's still touring, as a matter of fact.
I thought ELO was...
He's doing...
ELO is one of those bands, and I always do this to you, that I had to get him in my two cents, but ELO is one of those bands that was so unique. Their songs were so... had so much variety to them that you really didn't know what you were going to get. And I still... when an ELO song pops up on my... and I, you know, another reason I don't watch the Grammys, although I didn't know the Beatles were going to win anything. Tony, I've told you, I'm a dinosaur. I'm stuck in the 60s, 70s, even the 80s. I love lyrics. I don't like all the thumpity thump and all the bass and all the things that required these days elements. I like songs where there's guys with horns and instruments in the background.
And they're all moving in the same way, the same fashion. You know, I loved ELO, actually, and I want to say it was like 10 years ago, so it's probably closer to 20, but ELO was supposed to have this big comeback tour, and it totally fell flat on its face. And
didn't know that.
I could not believe that. I thought an ELO world tour would have been good. And I think the reason is a lot of people who had never seen ELO live were trying to figure out how in the world they could incorporate so many different facets of their songs in a live setting. I never saw the band live, but when you listen to their music and how produced it is, it would have to be something really special to pull it off on stage. And obviously Jeff Lynne's doing that. They're actually over in the UK right now. They're on tour, and they've just been joined by the Doobie Brothers and Steve Winwood for the last farewell show
Steve
over
Winwood
in the UK.
Steve Winwood fan,
Neil Sedaka.
I think Neil passed away not too long ago.
Neil is still alive.
He is.
I thought he was gone too, but he's 85 years old.
I thought Neil had passed away.
Mm-hmm. Petula Clark.
Oh, Downtown. Oh, man, what a great song. I'm going to say Petula's still kicking.
She's still kicking. She's 92.
I knew she
she's
was.
Still
I
singing, thought she, she's still doing
tough,
Downtown.
Tough old broad.
Gordon Lightfoot.
Gordon just died, I know, recently. He was another great lyricist, singer, songwriter. If You Could Read My Mind, one of my all-time favorite songs.
Man, I listened to that song like 35 times in a row.
I love
it. When I went up there to see my dad when they were burying my father, that song came on, and for some reason it was just the perfect song for the perfect moment, and I cried my ass off, and I listened to that song.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just kept rewinding it, listened to it 35 times. Yeah, he passed away last May. He was 84, and he actually did a show at the BJCC Concert Hall about 4 or 5 years ago. But tickets were like $350 face value. They were $350, and and most of the people that said they went, they were just happy to be there, but he was having a hard time hitting a lot of his notes, and I don't even know if he knew where he was at. Go ahead.
Real quick, if you read between the lines, you'll know that I'm just trying to understand the feelings that you lack. One of my favorite lines of all
time. That is just one of it's a top five song of all time for me. I mean, the Wreck of the Edmonds Fitzgerald was a really fun kind of song. I remember it went to number one. It was one of the few songs that was actually over 6 minutes long and went to number one. But yeah, Sundown, I mean, he just had so many great songs.
Yeah.
And again, one of those artists, and you know this, one of those great artists, or just take off the top 40s and go listen to the rest of his music. It was magical.
Oh, yeah.
It was fantastic.
Fantastic.
John Astin.
I think John Astin passed away. He was Patty Duke's husband.
John Astin's still kicking. He's 90.
Is he?
He's 94 years
Patty
old.
Patty Duke did die, so I guess John's still hanging in there. How about that?
He's the last one of the Adams family who's still alive.
Gomez Adams.
Robin Williams.
What a great character he was.
Man, unbelievable. Robin Williams.
Tish, that was French. Yeah, Robin Williams unfortunately committed suicide.
He did.
Which is horrendous. He had reached a point of total manic depression that overwhelmed him and actually hung himself in his mansion in San Francisco, which, I mean, for a guy who was just such a amazing entertainer and had so much range, and you know, to think somebody like that was fighting those kind of demons is just heart-wrenching.
Yeah, and he was 63. He's one of those that's on my list of I can't believe he's still dead. I know he's dead, but I just can't believe that because the world was such a better place with him in it. Everything from Comic Relief to Dead Poets Society. Punch. I mean, he did so many great movies. There was a movie called Awakenings that he was in, which was a fantastic movie. It was based on a true story about some type of pharmaceutical thing where he was upping doses in this home for elderly patients. It was just fantastic. If you ever get a chance to go see Awakenings.
Dead Poets Society was very underappreciated movie.
Yeah.
Thought it was phenomenal. He was great in the movie. He took a different direction there, but he was just fantastic.
Mrs. Doubtfire, hello! Still one of the great movies of all time.
Mrs. Doubtfire is a great movie.
And listen, if you ever want... If you ever going through, and I'm not poo-pooing on Miss Delphi because it's a great movie, but if you've ever been just through a divorce where it's got really ugly and messy, go watch that movie.
Yep.
That movie angers me towards the end, because at the end of the movie, she's basically keeping his children away from him, and she knows it's wrong. He knows it's wrong. He's doing everything he can to fight to get his children back to visit with his children, because he loves his children. He's on hard times. And she says at the end of the movie, he said, "Why did you do that to me?" And she said, "Because I was angry."
Yep.
And that just goes to show, we do really stupid things. We lead with our emotions. But she's like, "I kept the kids away from you because I was angry." And sometimes we had to remember what's best for the children. That's all I want to say. Dick Van Dyke.
If Dick passed, it's just been really recently. I think he's still alive.
He is 100 years old. They just did a Dick Van Dyke celebratory thing. I think it was on CBS about 3 or 4 months ago. If you get a chance to watch it, it's difficult to watch. He's still there. He's still there. He's still talking. It's not uncomfortable. He's still got his cognizant going. He's talking. He's celebratory, and he's thankful and everything else. But he's 100 years old. But man, he is still so animated. It's unbelievable. They did a whole thing with Mary Poppins and a celebratory thing. If you get a chance to go see it, go see it. Mel Brooks.
I think Mel's still alive.
Mel is alive. He is 99 years old.
Holy cow.
Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher died.
She did.
She had a seizure on a plane going somewhere, and they rushed her to the hospital upon landing, and she didn't make it. She was one of the people I talked about a couple of weeks ago who made a cameo appearance on the television series The Big Bang Theory.
Yep, sure did.
And that was just shortly before. And that show has kind of got a sad legacy, because so many of these people that kind of popped up for these, you know, one-time or sometimes recurring roles, we lost James Earl Jones and Bob Newhart both in the last year, and both of those guys were, you know, kind of semi-regulars on that show and great. But yeah, Carrie Fisher, I know, always battled drug addiction, and another one that's just a shame, because she couldn't have been that old. She was only in her 60s, right?
Yeah, she was 63 years old. I'm sorry, 60 years old. Yeah, she was great in When Harry Met Sally, too. A lot of people don't remember her in When Harry
Fantastic.
Met Sally. And she was hot, man. She was sexy. And of course, a lot of people, and you watch The Big Bang Theory, they always talk about, you know, that scene there with Carrie Fisher in the gold bikini in the Star Wars movies. She was the sexiest part of that. And speaking of which, and celebrities, and I don't think he ever made the show, but his son did, Leonard Nimoy, dead or alive.
Yep.
Yeah, he's...
Yep,
he's,
Leonard Nimoy just died a couple of years ago. I think 2021, maybe.
Let's go 2015.
Really? That long ago?
Yeah.
Because he was another character that showed up on The Big Bang Theory in their first couple of years, I guess.
He was 83 years old when he passed away. Chubby Checker.
Chubby Checker, God, he was huge in the early 60s. Chubby would have to be 100, but I'm going to say that he's on the list. He might still be with us.
He's still good. He's 83 years old.
That's all?
He's still alive. And I think
God, he must have been a teenager when he hit it big.
I think he's still touring. I think he's still, I still think, and of course he got his name from Fats Domino. He wanted to be along with, you know, so yeah. He came up with something that sounded like Fats, something like Domino, and Chubby Checker ended up
being a pretty. Didn't Chubby take the twist to a whole, wasn't that his gig?
He did.
The twist. The whole world was done.
Anne Margaret.
Oh God, I had a huge obsession with Anne Margaret as a young man.
I am like Anne Margaret, man. I still love her. And well, wow. And that should tell you that she's still alive then, because I'm not going to love a dead person. She's 83. She's still alive.
83. She's still in play,
dude. She was in. Remember?
Do you have her number?
Oh, you know what? You remember? I actually interviewed her about 10 years ago. You remember Grumpy Old Men? She was in Grumpy Old Men.
Oh yeah, she was
great. God, she's still hot. And I mean, I know that movie was 20 years ago, but
yeah. That's probably what killed Walter Matthau. Jack Lemmon was the only movie with her.
She was smoking hot. Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh man, of wrestling fame. Mm-hmm. I guess he's probably still with us.
He passed away about 7 years ago.
Did he really?
2015. Yeah, I didn't.
He couldn't have been that old.
No, that's why I brought that up. He was in his 60s. David Bowie.
David Bowie did pass away.
He did.
Unfortunately, you know, another guy who had just great innovative music, a fantastic performer.
Everything from, and if you ever get a chance to go watch one of my favorite songs I played here on Tony Curry Radio is Fashion. That, of course, the one's got Alan Hunter from MTV Days. He's actually in that video.
Right.
Go watch Fashion/ Let's Dance. He actually does a live rendition of that. And he's got these men that come out and they're all doing it is the most amazing. It's so cool. I mean, compared to the Grammys and a lot of their stuff, you talk about the rap and all that crap. It's got these guys, these 3-piece suits, and they're all coming out and they're doing this thing that looks like you'd see in the front of a Macy's store. It's just wild. It's crazy. And of course, was it Iman, his wife of many years, which was just, I mean, she was so funky. She was so different. She was a supermodel. But yeah, he was super cool. Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz was still kicking and still doing commercials and stuff. I think Buzz is still around.
Buzz is 95 and he is still around.
Yeah.
Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder did pass. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you know, it's so sad to me because one of the most original, Mel Brooks' crowning achievement was Blazing Saddles. And now people say, oh, it's a racist movie.
No.
It's the movie makes fun of racism. That's the whole point of the movie. The movie is to show how stupid it is to be racist. No. And people say, because they used a couple of choice words in that does not make it a racist situation. Somebody said that to me not too long ago. We were talking about comedy movies. And I said, about Blazing Saddles. Well, that's too racist for me. I felt like saying you
must be
racist.
Yeah, you must be a racist if you think that's racist. You must be a racist to think that movie's racist.
The whole point is to make fun of how stupid racism is.
The greatest movie ever made. I love Mel Brooks movies. And you know what's funny too, because I mean, is Mel Brooks, and when he wrote that thing, he was probably in his 50s or 60s. And I mean, the fart scene around the campfire is like, what? And I'm watching that with my son. My son's like, and he started laughing, and he's 20. You know, farts aren't funny to him anymore, and he starts laughing. And I said, that's funny. That is the funniest thing for these guys sitting around lighting fire.
And I love even the edited versions of Blazing Saddles, which you don't even see on TV anymore because I guess it's improper to have it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one scene that the people never caught because they don't just, I guess, are not broad enough and smart enough to catch it. But there's a scene where he comes riding up where the train workers are, you know, he had been taken away to be hung because he hit the Slim Pickens character in the head with a shovel. And of course, so Harvey Korman makes him sheriff of Rock Ridge to just piss everybody off. But he rides up to the camp where all the train guys and the big bald guy runs into Bart, I can't believe it. They said you was hung. And he says, and they was right. The censors always miss that line.
Oh man, that was great. Yeah, that was kind of like that was like airplane before airplane, but it just
jet,
but,
absolutely
the jokes just were flying.
So
at
many
so
one-liners.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. I love the scene too when the big scene that spills out from the movie theater out onto the streets of Hollywood where everybody's in the big brawl. And Madeline Kahn, who is, she's on the list, unfortunately she's gone, but Madeline Kahn was so funny in that movie as the bombshell Lily von Stoop.
She was fantastic.
Remember there were some Nazis in the evil army fighting. She had gathered them all and she was singing like German song. Yeah, yeah. And they were all,
I'm going to go watch that tonight. That is the funniest. And you know what? It does not come on television. It'll come on the Comedy Channel because the Comedy Channel runs the stuff.
Yeah.
You'll never see that on network television.
It was genius. And you know, that was written for Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
He was supposed to star in that movie and he went through a controversial series of a concert tour where he became kind of untouchable and Warner Brothers told Mel Brooks, well, we're going to do the movie, but you can't have Richard Pryor. And he wrote the movie for Richard Pryor. Cleavon Little ended up getting that part.
And he was great too.
Cleavon Little was phenomenal.
He was fantastic.
In that. He was, and he never really, Cleavon Little's career, I don't really know a lot about it because he didn't, that was his most visible movie, but Cleavon Little was sensational.
There weren't too
movie.
Many parts for black cowboys back in those days.
No.
But he was fantastic. And he was great.
And what about everybody in Rock Ridge? Everybody was named Johnson, you know. Howard Johnson, one Johnson. Flavor, you know.
That was great. Robert Wagner.
I think Robert made a guest appearance not that long ago on another show. I think Robert's still around.
Robert's still around, and he's 94, and he looks really good for 94.
He really does.
I don't know if it's the son, a George Hamilton look. I don't know what it is, but he still looks. I used to watch him in... oh gosh, what was the private investigator show he did with his wife or his lovely wife?
Oh, Heart to Heart.
Heart to Heart. Oh my gosh. And that show, man, was so uppity. Like, and I remember my mom and dad were loving that show because they wanted to live like the Hearts, you know, it was called Heart to Heart. What a great show that was.
It was. I'll tell you a quick story. My late brother and I were at Santa Anita for the races years ago. And there was a little, just a glass door that separated the clubhouse where all the elites were and the grandstand. I had gotten us access to the clubhouse. We were coming out of the clubhouse to go down to the trackside and hang around. And it's just kind of a rush of people when the door opened. And my brother has this full speed, I mean, hard ass collision with a guy in this great suit. And I get up and get a look at him. And Junior goes, whoa, that guy just ran over me. I said, that guy was Robert Wagner. I mean, they literally had a high speed collision. I said, you ought to relish that. That's one of the coolest guys in Hollywood.
That is,
and also
cool.
Of course the other Robert Wagner, part is the whole Natalie Wood story is one of the saddest Hollywood stories ever. We still don't know what happened there on that boat that night, but she got drunk enough and pissed off enough where she tried to launch the little tack on boat or whatever and drowned tragically. And Natalie Wood was one of the great talents Hollywood ever produced, and his wife. So that's a real sad chapter to that story.
I was watching the Andy Griffith Show the other night. It runs on the CW, I think, which of course is in cahoots with ABC 3340, which by the way, you can check out the starting lineup on Saturday morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock, along with my partner, Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry. It's a great show and our cast of idiots. There was a scene there where Barbara Eden comes in and she is she does manicures. And so she goes to the barbershop and she asks, hey, listen, can I, Floyd, use this little quarter over here and start doing manicures? And he's like, sure, you know, and like every guy in town is freaking out because she is so stinking hot.
Oh,
and all
God.
The women in town, and it was, man,
hate it.
Misogynistic. I mean, it was a little cringy because it was 60s television and she was so beautiful and you knew exactly. And so all of a sudden there was a line out the door of these men, you know, getting manicures, like, oh, I ain't getting a stinking manicure. Next thing you know, every guy's getting a manicure because she's so beautiful. And the only reason they're getting their nails done is because she's so beautiful. Is Barbara Eden still alive?
I think so.
She is. She's 93. I actually have, let me show you.
In the 60s, Tony, in that genie costume on I Dream of Genie, that had to be just like the manicures. Every guy on earth had to have been watching that show. What are you watching, honey? Oh, the ball game's on. Yeah, yep. I'm watching I Dream of Genie, her traipsing around. My God, was she gorgeous.
Look at that. Look at that number right there. I have Barb Eden on my phone. I should call her up. She was good friends with
Don. Oh, my God.
She was good friends with Don Wells. And Don Wells, of course, yes, who played Marianne. Oh, yeah. And we had Don on. I had a cup of coffee with her. She was here for the World of Wheels about 6 or 7 years ago. And we were
Dawn
talking
was
about
work, was
we were,
working Tony
and,
Curry.
And Don, of course, is no longer with us either. She had did something with her leg, had something. Next thing you know, she's selling all this memorabilia because she got no residuals from Gillian's Island. Bob Denver and Tina Louise were the only two people that got any residuals.
Is that right?
From that show. And of course, that show ran for another 30 years. It was really, it was like WKRP. It actually got bigger.
That is shocking. Yeah, it got bigger. That is absolutely shocking.
So she's selling like pictures of the boat, and she's selling like, she had banana cream pie. She was doing all these things to make all this money to get her legs bad. I'm thinking, man, you're in Hollywood. And one of her friends who was helping her out was Barbara Eden. They were really, really good buddies.
Ginger and Marianne, that's the legacy of that show.
She still liked to talk about that. That was the question. And she's like, I'll just put it real quick. She goes, if you want to get laid, you're going with Ginger. You want a woman to marry, you're coming with me. And I was like, that's it. She's like, you go get laid all you want with Tina Louise. And she said, and it was kind of like that in life. And I said, really? And she said, oh, yeah. And we went on to ask if there were any love affairs. And there was a little smitten love affair there between the professor and Tina Louise that was actually on film. She said, but it was so different back in those times. But
Russell Johnson getting busy with Tina Louise.
Russell was the professor. He was.
Oh, come
indeed.
On, man.
He had a good look. He had a good look.
Where is Kip Kiefer starling?
Roberta Flack.
Killing Me Softly. Mm-hmm. I think she's passed.
She's still around. She's 85.
Is she really? Yeah, good for Roberta.
She's still kicking. Gary Coleman.
I know Gary Coleman passed away at a very early age. Yeah. I think he had all kinds of medical issues throughout his life.
He had an epidural hematoma. He actually had a fall, a nasty fall. He was 42. It was back in 2010.
And he
fell down some stairs. And next thing you know, and he was actually, at that point, it was amazing, too, because he was the highest paid star, not child star.
Incredible.
The highest paid star, period, from 1975.
What you talking about, Tony?
Yeah, from 1975 to 1985, and of course
that's incredible.
And of course, because of his size, he had his parents looking over his head. And at one point, he was bankrupt. He was broke.
Because didn't he have a big dispute with his parents?
Oh yeah, they were
stole a bunch of his money,
robbing his ass blind. I mean, his parents stealing his money blind. And of course, he would start making appearances and shows as himself. To make money for Gary Coleman, but he's no longer. We mentioned this. Yoko Ono, she's still alive, right?
Yoko's still alive, and you talked to her on the phone.
Yep, she's 91. Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman, I think he just passed away.
Gene is still alive. He is 95.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that, too.
Louis Anderson.
I don't remember hearing about Louis passing, so I'm gonna bet on still kicking.
Yeah, he passed away a couple of years ago at the age of 68.
Yeah, okay.
He had lymphoma. Man, you want to talk about a guy? You remember him in Coming to America?
Definitely.
God, he had so many roles in so many movies and was so funny. And of course, the last thing he did was where he played his mother. Was all made up and did something on Broadway. It was really, really good. Raquel Welch.
I know Raquel passed.
She did. Back in 23, she was 82 years old.
Yep.
You mentioned James Earl Jones. I bring James Earl Jones because he just passed away last year, and there's a commercial.
Yep.
There's a commercial on right now where he's actually in the commercial, and I was like, wait a minute. I thought James Earl Jones was dead, and he's like on a thing full of horses or something. He's like, come on, let's go, or something. Or someone's supposed to look like James Earl Jones.
Yeah, he stayed active. I mean, his Big Bang thing with Sheldon was just classic.
Oh, man. And my son still has not seen Field of Dreams. And I'm like, dude, you've got this. And he's like, Dad, this is not one of these. I said, honey, this ain't one of those airplane movies. This ain't Jaws. Where you're going to go, what the hell? Why am I watching this? I said, I promise you. I said, you will never look at baseball again the same. I said, you owe it to yourself as a baseball fan.
Never.
Which, by the way, I think everyone's reporting, is it tomorrow or Wednesday? Baseball players reporting tomorrow?
Pitchers and catchers, I think. I know it's this week. I think it's by the weekend. But, yeah, if you haven't seen Field of Dreams, you've got to watch the movie. It's just fantastic. James Earl Jones' character is great. He plays the he plays a controversial 60s author mm-hmm. who wrote a book called The Boat Rocker, but it's really after The Catcher in the Rye, of course, by J.D. Salinger. He plays a character based on J.D. Salinger, and he has gone into complete obscure hiding and just writing technical manuals when Kevin Costner goes to find him, and his role in that movie is pivotal. It's just fantastic.
Now, and that scene, I don't want to give it away because I'm maybe some people, but when they finally do hook up, and he says, "You heard that too." Then you know, okay, good, he's in. Because, I mean, you know he's a part of the story. You know he's got to be part of the story. But when he's got the baseball bat, he's going after him in the apartment. You're like, whoa, this is not going to end well.
Well, and remember, at first he says, no, I didn't hear anything. And he goes, well, I guess you're not supposed to be here after all. He takes him home, and it's bothering James Earl Jones, who runs in front of the van and goes, Moonlight Graham.
Yep.
And he goes, you did hear it.
Uh-huh.
So that's cool. Just awesome.
That was cool.
And Burt Lancaster played Moonlight Graham, Tony. Remember that? And he says something in that movie, and I try to get this in when we do these things, but Burt Lancaster had a line in that movie. He goes, you know, he got to play one half an inning in the big leagues, and he never got to bat. And the game ended, and he said, you know, you always think to yourself when your life is happening, there'll be other days. He goes, but you have to remember this may be the day. And it's really, really great life advice.
Oh man. And Ray Liotta, who was so good in that. And he's another one of those guys. I can't believe he's gone. I can't believe Ray Liotta is not alive. He's one of those guys.
You would not expect him to be gone. No, that's for sure.
He was just in so many fantastic roles, and he was so good. And he looked so good in that role too. I mean, a lot of those guys in those baseball players, they look like, I told you the story. There was a friend of mine, his name is Tim Brockman. He lived down the street from me. And Tim had a lazy left eye. A lot of people gave him a hard time, but he was one of my best friends, and I loved him to death. And his father was a pitcher. And I don't know where he pitched, but his father was older. He was in his 50s or 60s. And Tim could throw a fastball like I couldn't catch it. I'm like 14, 15 years old. It would scare me because if he threw a knuckleball, I was afraid it was going to hit me in the face because it moved so much. And here's this 14, 15-year-old kid. He was throwing 75, 78, 79 mile an hour fastballs.
Oh, wow.
And I very rarely saw his dad, but one day his dad walked out, and I swear to you, I thought his dad was Ty Cobb. He looked so much like Ty Cobb. He had a Detroit hat on. He looked so much like, and I was like, and I said, is your dad Ty Cobb? He's like, dude, my dad was Ty Cobb. He'd be 300 years old. And I was like, are you sure? And I kept trying to put the pieces together like he was some reincarnation of Ty Cobb. And he looked like Ty Cobb. And some of those guys in Field of Dreams look like those baseball players, which is crazy.
Remember Ray Liotta's line where he goes, you can't believe how many guys wanted to come down here and play. He said, Ty Cobb was begging, but we told him to stick it. We didn't like that son bitch when he was alive.
Yeah, that was fantastic. James Michael Tyler, who played Gunther on Friends,
he passed away.
He did pass away. I brought that up just because I just saw an episode he was in.
Yeah, poor Gunther, always after Jennifer Aniston. He's competing with Barack Obama. He didn't have a shot.
Hey, he's getting some residuals, or he was getting some residuals from Friends. He was on every episode, 150 episodes. Patty Smith,
I think, passed away as well.
She is actually still alive. Is she really? She's 78. I got a chance.
I thought I had read she died.
I got a chance to interview her when I was out in L.A. for the Grammys 25, 26 years ago. And at the time, she was dating this guy named Roger Mapplethorpe. Do you remember Roger Mapplethorpe? He was an artist.
Yeah, he was the weird artist, right?
He was the weird artist. He was the one that put the thing in Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's laws changed because of Roger Mapplethorpe.
He had his exhibit,
and it was all
sexually explicit stuff.
Really sadistic, nasty stuff. And, of course, we end up talking about Roger more than talking about Patty. But I remember Patty because she obviously was not into shaving. She had hairy armpits. She had a top on with hairy armpits, and I remember sitting there talking to her, but we had an amazing conversation. Dave Mason.
I really don't know. I'm gonna bet on Dave.
Dave is still alive. He's 78. He's still alive.
Yep.
And then finally, and I know you know this, and I'm just gonna throw this out because I know you're probably at a couple, but Tom Petty.
He was
66. Talk about a guy too, because I mean Tom Petty played a Super Bowl, and if you play a Super Bowl, you've arrived, right? And Tom Petty just wasn't a Super Bowl type of singer. You're talking about flash, you're talking about lights, you're talking about in your face, you know, and he wasn't that stage performer. He wasn't that guy, you know, that ran, he wasn't Bruce Springsteen running back and forth
messing
with the crowd. He was just a band kind of guy. And the fact that he actually played a Super Bowl to me was fantastic. He was 66 and of course passed away in 2017. And another one of those guys where you really didn't know the depth of his work until he passed away.
Thank Case Kiefer, one of our cohorts on the starting lineup, my oldest son. We were on a beach trip to Del Mar in San Diego, and he said, "Hey, there's a big show tonight at San Diego State." And Case is a hardcore, you know, kind of modern. He liked Limp Bizkit and Korn and all those kind of bands. But he says, "I really like Tom Petty." This is a year before Tom Petty passed away. We went to San Diego State on a beach trip night and saw him. And it's one of those things, Tony, I'm so thankful. I had seen Tom Petty maybe 10 years before in Tampa when Jackson Brown was I was there because of Jackson Brown was opening for him because Jackson hadn't toured in a while and thought Tom Petty was phenomenal. But that concert in San Diego, he was in great form. His band was really tight. It was fantastic. We did it like he had the crowd sing along with Learning to Fly. It was one of the funnest 5 or 6 minutes that I can ever remember because everybody in the crowd was singing to the top of their lungs and he was loving it. You know, just start like one word and everybody else sang all the choruses. And he also threw in a line there that I'd never heard any time else. There's a line where, you know, coming down is the hardest thing. Mm-hmm. And he got to that and coming down is the hardest thing. And they start the guitar lick and he leans back in the mic and goes, "Every time," which, you know, I always think that should have been part of the regular song. Cause when he threw that in, that's what I remember most about that concert. I love when people come up with kind of supplemental lyrics that you're not used to in the regular versions of the song.
If you get a chance, go check out, I had to look it up to make sure I had the right thing. Go check out Running Down a Dream. It's a 4-hour documentary on Tom Petty. I saw it about a year and a half ago. It came out, 2006, 2007. Man, these documentaries, I know I saw the Eagles one. These documentaries, man, when I start watching, I'm like, everyone just shut up, close the doors, turn the lights off, and leave me alone. Because when I start getting these rock and roll documentaries, and they just change me because I've been playing this music from these artists for so long.
Yeah, I love those things.
There's always things in there that you didn't know.
Well, MTV had that show, like, what was it called? Behind the Music, which was always really good.
Yeah, it was always super good. Anybody else that you can think of? And, of course, you know, there's the Lady Dies, there's the Princes, there's the Michael Jacksons, there's all these. Any other particular celebrity or musical person that you can't believe they're gone? Not because they died early, but just because you're like, wow, I just can't believe this person's no longer on the face of this earth. Anybody else kind of ring your bell?
The latest one, of course, is somebody we've talked about at length here, is Pete Rose to me. Yeah. Pete Rose was such a gritty, gutty hustler. It's just hard to believe anything could do Pete in.
I had kind of forgotten about Pete.
Yeah. That shook me. Pete was a big part of my life, and I had a lot of interactions with him. And the fact, the documentary he made last year, just a year before he passed away on HBO, he says, "Look, it's pretty obvious now. They're not going to even consider me for the Hall of Fame until I die." Mm-hmm. And it's just haunting because you watch in the next 3 or 4 years, there'll be a big movement.
He'll get in.
Faye Vincent, one of the guys who really bought, one of the successors to Bart Giamatti, the first commissioner to really get hardcore and say, "We're not even going to consider him." Faye Vincent just died over the weekend, I saw. So Faye Vincent outlasted Pete by about 4 or 5 months.
Didn't Giamatti didn't pass away, or did he have a heart attack and he blamed Pete Rose for it?
Yeah, well, the Faye Vincents of the world blame Pete Rose for it. Yeah. Bart Giamatti was like 40 pounds overweight. He smoked 5 or 6 packs a day. You know, he has a heart attack, and it was the stress from the Pete Rose situation hastened his departure. Yeah. Bull crap. Faye Vincent, rest in peace. I hope Pete's spiking him right now up at the pearly gates.
Hey, we're way over, and I don't care, but I got to get your thoughts on this because I'm not going to wait till we record for ABC 3340. Your thoughts on the Luka Doncic AD trade?
Oh,
that was like It had to be a joke. And my son's texting me at like 11:37 at night. He never texts me that late. And he's like, dude, major trade. And it woke me up. And I had to go downstairs and watch it. And I was like, this better be big. And I was like, holy smokes. The thing that I think is amazing about this is I thought for sure that LeBron had something to do with it. I know he was just talking about AD on Friday night when they were in New York City, talking about, listen, we can't win without him. We need his defense. And I also know that Luka wasn't known as a defender so much with the Mavericks. And that was one of the reasons, I guess, they felt like he was disposable. That's amazing. And the fact that they're both out right now and neither one of them are playing, it's rare to have a trade where two players go for each other and neither one of them are on the basketball court. But what are your initial thoughts on that? And that just talk about a mind bender, man.
Yeah. Doncic has only played 23 games all year. Yep. Supposedly, I read a really good story on The Athletic, which is kind of my source for a lot of inside info. But they were talking about how the Mavericks the last couple of years have become frustrated with Doncic because he is not taking care of himself. Yep. He has a lot of bad personal habits. He put on a bunch of weight in the middle of last season. They're blaming a lot of the injuries on that they are always on him for conditioning and proper diet and proper habits, which I don't know what that means, if he's a carouser or whatever. He actually lived in the same apartment building, high-rise apartment building, as my radio partner, Terry Quillian, for a couple of years. And she said, you know, she was not a real late nighter, but she said several times when she did come in from trips or whatever late at night, she'd actually see him kind of stumbling through the lobby at 3 and 4 in the morning. Oh. So, you know, so maybe they just said, look, you know, this next contract for this guy, because his contract now was just outrageous.
He was going to get a 5-year, $345 Supermax deal. It's a
Supermax. I mean, yeah, $70 million
a year. Yeah, that max ain't enough. Now it's Supermax. So he was fixing to get $70 million a year.
Maybe the Lakers think they can whip him into shape and get him.
LeBron's that guy. LeBron's the greatest basketball player. I know people can say Jordan. I still think he's the greatest basketball player we've ever seen. And it's like Nick Saban camp. If you need to be cleaned up a little bit, you need to go under Nick Saban's tutelage for a couple of years, cleaned up and pop back out.
So AD is always going to be great because AD's just a player. Because
if LeBron's going to stay in L.A., he's going to whip Doncic's ass.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Because he wants to win another championship. Yeah, he's got to win another championship. He's got Luka on his team. He's got all the pieces he needs to win in L.A. I think L.A. feels like they got a better deal out of this.
Yeah.
Because it seems like AD's been banged up more than Luka. But I'm tending to believe the Mavericks, who just played in a championship series last year, which is hard to believe. You're trading away a guy who was your leading scorer. It's hard to believe. I get a feeling they think they're remarkably better without Luka and with AD in there. If they can stay healthy, it should be amazing.
Well, and supposedly from inside the office, we don't believe you can win a championship. We tried to win by outscoring people. We have to have defense. We don't play defense in Dallas. Anthony Davis is the ultimate defender. We thought this was a move we needed to make. But let's face it, Tony, the bottom line is they're frustrated with this guy.
Yep.
He's a superstar. He's probably the most talented player we've had in the league in a number of years. But, you know, if you can't get a guy buying into the program, and their perception is he's not concerned about conditioning or fitness or being on the court now. You're paying that guy that kind of money. From a business standpoint, I see it. From a fan standpoint, if I was a Maverick fan, I'd go, are you kidding me? I'm never going to another Maverick game.
Have you heard anything from Mark Cuban?
No, Mark has pretty much ceded control of that team. Where he had total control.
Yeah, haven't heard a word.
Yeah, but he has not commented, which is kind of amazing. Maybe he feels like it'd be inappropriate, but the day-to-day operations, I can't believe that, because that was his passion.
Yep.
He was involved in everything. When he walked away a couple of years ago, I'm still shocked by that.
Yeah, I am too. Great show, my friend. We'll do it again coming up this week. We'll record and get ready for ABC 3340's starting lineup. Of course, it is a Super Bowl 59 show Saturday morning. It's going to be unbelievable. The big game coming up on February 9th. We'll have your winners. And, of course, you go to k4wins.com, k4wins.com for all of our plays, free site. Subscribe and check it out. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you later this week.
You bet. If you're going to bet on the Super Bowl, if you miss the starting lineup, you're kidding yourself, because it's going to be all about investments on the Super Bowl.
And lots of props, too. Not the crazy flipping coin crap. We're going to have actually some good props, so we'll have that stuff going on. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.